Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Sad moment this morning after the awesome interviews that we've had with him. Joining us for the final time this football season on the Diamond Factory Hotline is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, coach.
Oh, no. Of course.
What a perfect way to end it. What a perfect way. We had the Dak slide play and then that to start off McCarthy's final interview.
Nothing quite like it. You know, what is that? Is that a landline? Is that something you see on a landline? You don't get that on a cell phone, do you? When I always get hung up on, it just goes dead silent. And I'm sitting there talking to myself. Hello? Hello?
Is he in the office? You in the office this morning after yesterday and the final presser with the media?
Good question. Now if he's routed through.
Now, if he doesn't answer this time, then we know we got a problem. Coach, are you there?
Good morning.
Are you in the office?
Oh, yes, I'm in the office.
Oh, okay.
When
are you getting out of the office? When are you going to leave the office for a while?
As soon as I get done with you guys. yeah, I'll probably get out for the weekend, you know, but we start our exit interview process with the coaching staff and support staff next week. So then when that's completed, then we'll get some time off as a staff.
So, Coach, we're going to try to – well, one of the you know, negatives to having you on today is all the questions you got yesterday. So we're going to try to ask them a little bit differently so you don't have to repeat yourself, because I thought you went into very good explanation. But one of the things we're just looking for definite clarity on, because Steven said, yes, I'm very confident. Yesterday you said, yeah, I had a positive conversation with Jerry. Have you talked with Jerry about definitely coming back next year? Was that a conversation?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. It's no, we didn't have. I mean, I'm full speed ahead. I mean, our whole conversation was, you know, obviously we talked about the disappointment of the game and things that went into the game, and but you know, the majority of our conversation was about aligning all the positive things that we have and how we're moving forward and the direction. Obviously, we have some things going on with our, you know, with our staff, with both Dan and Kellen, with interviews. But yeah. Our conversations have all went, but you know, full steam ahead. I mean, I think I get that you have a job to do and everybody has a job to do and how certain opinions go. But at the end of the day, you know, internally we're full speed ahead. The exit interviews with the players, were phenomenal. It's, you know, trust me, we're all very, very disappointed that you and I are having this type of conversation today, because we all felt that, you know, what we accomplished during the regular season, we really posed ourselves for a playoff run. So, but it also is a harsh reminder how tough it is to win these games. And, you know, we didn't play well enough to win.
So job status just never came up. It's just planning ahead, talking about the game. That just never came up between you and Jerry.
Yes, no, we talked about everything that, you know, needed to be talked about. So,
Coach, what surprised you the most about the Niner game?
What surprised me?
Yeah. Were you like, I wasn't accounting for this. I, I really can't believe this happened. Was it the physicality early on? Was it the penalties? Even though it was an issue throughout the year, like, what surprised you the most about the way that thing ended?
I wouldn't say I was surprised. I mean, it's, you know, we were clearly prepared for the type of game we're going into, but I think that, you know, the penalties definitely didn't help us, especially on offense with the second. I mean, you just look at our second down situation. I don't know if it's ever been that poor on offense that I could recall. I think we had, 8 second and 10 pluses, mm-hmm. or second and 10s, and we had 4 second and 20s. I mean, that's obviously tells you what we did on first down. So,
yeah.
We had, you know, we really shot ourselves in a hole. We didn't get the ball distributed like we normally have. I mean, if you look at our season, you know, ball distribution is a huge part of our success on offense. You know, our ability to spread the ball around throughout our perimeter, get everybody involved. You know, we didn't accomplish that against the 49ers.
Coach, you mentioned penalties. You know, and there were obviously a lot this year. How much of penalties are, you know, especially on the offensive line, like a technique type? You know, the way the technique is coached within the system. How much of penalties is that?
How much penalties or technique?
No, like you know, how much, you know, in terms of, like, you know, the reason for the penalties, how much do you think should be blamed on technique that's coached?
So the coaching and the technique and that equates to a penalty?
Yeah, like, does it? Yeah, that's what I'm asking, yeah.
We don't coach techniques that equate to penalties, I guess.
Right.
If that's what you're asking me.
No, I mean, I'm just saying,
know, we,
like,
break down penalties in categories. I mean, you have pre-snap penalties, which are, you know, those are all focused. There's no reason to have a pre-snap penalty, you know, before the ball snaps. You know, so that's a focus. You know, that goes down to, you know, the discipline and everything that goes into pre-snap. And then we have the combative penalties, and, you know, those are penalties that we break into two different categories. You know, for instance, you know, offensive holding. You know, we view offensive holding in the pass game differently than we do in the run game. You know, there's absolutely no reason to have a hold in the run game because it's simple math. If you got your hands outside and you feel like you're losing a block or your feet are beat, you know, it's, you take the -2 gain and burst to -10. But in the pass game, there's more things that could come on. So, you know, more negatives that can go wrong. So you look at holding, you know, as far as a pass protection differently than you do in run blocking. So am I answering your question?
Pretty much.
Coach, I mean, it's just it's an age old question, right? In terms of, you know, penalties, is it on players? Is it on coaches? Obviously, I mean, I've heard you 100 times say how much you guys emphasize it. Is the thing that maybe gets lost sometimes is, you know, if you get beat, you may commit a penalty. It's not that you're coaching it incorrectly. It's not that you're not emphasizing it, but, and I'm not saying it's a lack of talent thing, but in a matchup, if you get beat, you might grab, you might hold, and maybe it's just a matchup issue on that particular play. How much does that weigh into it?
Well, I mean, these are all good points, but, you know, you're looking at a lot of plays just in one game to say this. You know, it isn't like all 10 of our penalties or all 14 of our penalties came down to a bad matchup.
Yeah.
So was the matchup part of it? You know, I think that could be it. But, you know, there's plays, you know, obviously you can't help everybody. You know, when you have matchups that you may be concerned about, not that I felt like we needed to help a lot of our players, but there's, you know, there's stress points in every play. There's a stress point in every protection. If there's no stress point in a schematic protection, trust me, this game's been going on for 100 years. Everybody would be running the same one protection that had no stress points. So, I mean, so that's part of the beauty of the game of football, because it's 11 coordinated individuals, you know, on every single play. So, and I think the biggest thing with penalties too, and hey, I just sat here for 3 days talking to 85 players, and, you know, number one priority was the discipline and the penalties. And it's, you know, whether it's technique, you know, the pre-snap ones are the ones that we totally have to eliminate, you know, just get rid of that, because, I mean, there's no need for that. And I think a part of that, you know, it goes deeper. We got to look at, you know, the cadence variations that we're using. You know, we have a young center that needs to take another step. So there's a lot of different variables. It's not just one. And I think at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to take the penalty focus down, because it will be a primary focus for us, but you know, you're talking about one less penalty a game, maybe, or two less penalties a game, and you know, and that puts you in the top 10 ranking. So I mean, it's not that we're you know, oh my God, we got a long ways to go, but you know, oh my God, yes, it did shoot us, it hurt us in the most important game of the year, and that's the tournament. And I definitely, yeah, there's a pattern because of our numbers, but you know, there's some other distinct patterns too. And I talked about this a little bit at the press conference yesterday. You know, trust me, everything is collected as far as the data for evaluation. You know, I'm talking about every play at practice, the pace of the play. You know, all those details are in place here. We're very fortunate with the analytics, you know, structure we have here. But the thing that doesn't add up about this particular team is our mental evaluation is pretty darn high. I mean, this is one of the better teams I've coached as far as missed assignments and mental errors. And I'm talking on a 15-year scale. So in using your mental errors and MAs, missed assignments, they usually run parallel to your penalty numbers, and that's not the case. So, we look at it every week. I mean, I talk about penalties every Monday in a team meeting. So obviously we're not spending enough time on our penalty prevention, you know, emphasis, and particularly in some of our fundamental drills to your question earlier. So those are the things that are all part of the evaluation, and, you know, and it's as simple as, okay, we spend 5 minutes on Thursday on it. Are we going to spend 15 minutes spread out on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? So that's what this really equates to, because, you know, it's how much time do you spend in each area to improve your football team. And yes, you're making a great point here. We're going to spend more time on getting rid of these penalties, because they need to go down, you know, at least two penalties a game.
Mike McCarthy here on The Fan. Coach, did it ever bother you when, after the games, the players would point the finger at the officials? We're sitting here saying, well, you didn't play well enough, and there was a lot of other reasons, and you didn't lose because of the officials and just one play. It shouldn't have come down to that. You know, don't make excuses. Have some accountability. Did you ever feel that way when that was some of the post-game reaction from the team?
I'll say this, we have building blocks, that we talk about, refer to quite frankly, and availability and accountability is one of the key ones. You know, what I've learned with this job is, you know, there's things that get said after games that, you know, you have to give it 24 hours. So, and I think that's clearly the beauty of the Monday team meetings and the Monday evaluation process, you know, because even the players, you know, kid around with me, you know, our Victory Monday, when we do win and we have a Victory Monday, look, the players still work. And they're not totally off, which is, you know, the way some people do it, because you still have to go through it. And my point is, the accountability process is in place, and it's constant with us. So, yeah, did a guy or two make a comment about officiating after a game in some of our games this year? Yeah, absolutely, probably. But you know, as far as how we address it, we don't blame officials for outcomes of games. You know, now, have we been frustrated coming out of a game because of some things that went on and maybe officiating was part of it? Absolutely, but that's the game of football. And let's be honest, it's, you know, tongue in cheek here. I mean, you're doing your job if you get the individuals that have to answer questions after games to say something. So, yeah. I mean, you know, if a guy gives an honest answer, speaking from the heart, after a game, and then, you know, then he has a chance to, you know, take a step back and, you know, speak with his mind the next morning. I think we have to understand that that's professional sports, and there's definitely a discipline in that. There's an experience in that. Hey, you guys are great guys and everything, but trust me, you're the last people I want to talk to right after the game. You know, that's definitely, you know, job responsibility is, you know, checking a box. But I do understand, you know, it's part of it. And our players do, too. And I think our players do a good job. I think our players here, you know, I've worked at a few places in this league. You know, the demands that are on our players are second to none. And I think they do an outstanding job with it. And but, yeah, is there going to be a comment or two a year that they have to, you know, step back the next day? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, if we're in the compare and everything, you know, our players do a great job compared to, you know, their volume of responsibility in this area compared to, you know, their peers. That's for sure. That's without a doubt. Like, you know, I worked at a place that's pretty popular here before I got to Dallas.
I've always wanted to ask you about that. You know, not that you came from, you know, a JV high school job. You're with the legendary program, winning a title with the Packers. But is there, what's different or something really unique about coaching the Cowboys, Mike, that you were like, okay, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Like, what has separated from your Green Bay spotlight being the head coach of the Cowboys? Anything like clearly jump out?
I mean, there's a number of things. I think the biggest thing is, and I think it's like any job that you would compare to the Cowboys. I mean, it's so unique. You know, just the way the structure, just the fanfare is intense. I mean, it's intense in Green Bay, but this is unbelievable here. The passion, the people, you know, that have for the Dallas Cowboys. But you're also in a great sports city here too. I mean, high school football here is just off the chart. I mean, just the whole environment and how the Dallas Cowboys are so embedded into this community here is that's super special. But there's a lot of things here. The thing I love about it is the people. I mean, you got people here that have been here a long time and are obviously very good at what they do. But their passion to get back to the championship and bring the trophy home. And frankly, that's all I'm in it for. I mean, once you hold the trophy, there's nothing else like it. There's, you know, going to playoffs is just, you know, like I said, I think we talked about this last week, you know, the playoffs is the starting line. So, and, you know, obviously we didn't get past the first leg, but, you know, it's all about winning championships, and this place, you know, has a chance to do it like none other.
Coach, I want to ask you about the final play. I know you went into detail about it yesterday, but in terms of like the call, Was that the set play from the sideline? Was there anything Dak changed at the line of scrimmage to, I don't want to say go rogue, but, you know, make that himself?
There's no rogueness. It's a play. You know, it's a last two situations. So we're down to our last two plays of the game. It's all sequence. You have play calls that are laid out from the 40-yard line to the 30, then from the 30 to the 10. I mean, so it's all practice rehearsed, the last segments of the plays of the game were laid out no different than a red zone plan or a third down plan, your 2-minute plan. So, yeah. So as far as what we were expecting, they were in a sideline defense, which when you look at the film, they were protecting the sidelines because we had actually run two sideline offensive plays prior to that to move the ball down to the 40 plus here where currently we were there. And so with that, being above the 13 seconds, puts us in a tight clock, situation. And so versus that defense, that's exactly the call you want. You want the quick three-step drop pass or the draw. And based on how they lined their D lineman, Armstead's about 6'9", and he's playing the jumper position, looking for the quick pass. The draw is the right call there. So it's Kellen sent it in, and the draw check was appropriate. And so as far as the play and the execution, everything was intact. And just sitting here yesterday with Dak going through it, moving forward, we got to probably put a 10-yard limit on the game.
Yeah.
So he was aggressive there. But the mechanics at the end is really the breakdown of the play. So,
right.
And that's, something that we've obviously had a lot of conversation, and that's, something that's, it's a big, it's part of the outcome. So we got to learn from it. I think the conversation with everybody that needs to be involved is there, and it's clearly unfortunate we didn't have an opportunity to take a shot, at the end zone, because it's clearly a better play selection or play opportunity from the 25-yard line than it is from the 42-yard line.
I saw a video of, I think it was the Ravens, where they had basically the same play, and the official got there a little bit quicker, tapped the ball. Should they change how the process is done from an officiating standpoint?
Just the trailing ref. Is there too much onus? coach on the trailing ref being Michael Johnson sprinting up there. I'm not trying to get you in trouble with the league, but, you know, we did see the overhead shot of a 15, 20-yard sprint versus, you know, maybe a sideline official coming in horizontally who sees the spot of the ball and can maybe be there faster.
Technically, it was a 28-yard sprint.
Oh, you see.
Hey, he clocked it.
He measured it. I would measure it, too.
It's a 40 time.
No, I think just in conversation, I mean, it's definitely something that'll be part of their training tape. You know, it's definitely has made us, you know, take a step back and evaluate, you know, it, you know, what can we do better so the referee can have a cleaner, you know, maybe open up the A gap, you know, so, you know, if he is in a 28-yard full sprint, there's a little more room for him to go right through there, you know, so he doesn't run into the quarterback. So all those things were talked about. And that's, you know, unfortunately for us, I think the teams in that situation and the officials in that situation will be better prepared.
Coach, I want to ask you your reaction and see if you think it's a fair, probably the number one criticism of you is Mike McCarthy needs to improve as a game manager. Those situations dealing with the clock. How fair, unfair do you think that main criticism of you is?
Oh, I don't agree with it because, you know, obviously I know the specifics of why the decisions that were made. So, I mean, we don't have time for all this, but we could go through every one of them, and there's a clear reason why. Now, was, you know, there was a mistake made in the Charger game. There, you know, we had a substitution there there at the end. So dealing with the substitution mistake, and then the clock that we were all viewing from there on our sideline did go off the board. We had to recalibrate, and then we just, you know, obviously kicked the field goal and won the game. But so, you know, that was it. We had a substitution there that created that situation. But, you know, when you go through other decisions, I thought I talked to you guys about this before. But anyways, I think in every situation involving you know, timeouts and things like that, there's usually a conservative option or an aggressive option. No different with fourth downs. To me, they all are in the same category. So if you take a conservative option, like not calling a timeout before the Philadelphia game because you're worried about their pass rush when they're backed up, because we did give up a sack fumble early in the game, you take a conservative, you know, option there. I mean, it doesn't make you wrong, you know. And if you look at the way the game concluded, our defense was in command of the game, so it's end up being the right decision. So so I think if you go through the specifics of it, I'd talk game management with anybody. I'd put our process up against anybody. We got a really good crew here that I think our in-game communication is excellent. I think the people that do know, particularly in league circles, you know, we're on a game management conference call every Wednesday night with a group of people in that area. So there's a lot that goes into it, but as you know, it's about execution on game day. And I think we have a very healthy process, and our guys are well prepared. My disappointment is for as much time as we spend on it, you know, particularly in season Friday and Saturday. You know, we even gone back to, you know, we did a bunch of it more than I ever have in the spring in the OTA. So, and I just believe in ROI. You know, the return on investment is we're only going to be better moving forward. And I think part of being a leader is you take the hits when things don't go wrong, and you spread the credit around when it goes right. And that's a part of my management style, always has been. And I think I got a lot of dents because of it, but I feel it's part of being a good leader.
Coach, final thing here. It just seemed like after the New England game, the offense was humming. It was like, you know, Dak was an MVP candidate. He has the calf injury, and then just seemed like some things changed. Was there like a lingering injury? Was there a mechanical thing that changed with him? It just seemed like he wasn't as accurate, wasn't going downfield as much. Was anything different?
It's really that stretch here. What, Denver, Atlanta, Kansas City, you know, the Raiders. I mean, that was, you know, definitely the rough stretch here where we lost three out of four. I would say no to the injury. You know, he's such a tough individual. You know, he would, you know, I thought he'd let you know if he really was hurting. But yeah, I just think it was a combination of a number of things. You know, we, you know, both our running backs were dealing with injuries. You know, we had some movement in the line, and I think it's just like anything in the game of football. When you do have change up front, or if there's any change in your run offense or run defense, you know, we got to do a really good job of giving variation and other opportunities around that. So, and you have to go through that. I mean, there's, I haven't seen too many 16 or 17 game seasons where you're going to go cleanly through that. And that was definitely our roughest pass to get through. And it was bumpy as hell. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we responded with, what, four wins. And you know, then we had that tough game here against Arizona. But, you know, we won five of the last six. And, you know, I thought we really put ourselves in good position going into the playoffs.
Well, look, man, this has been a real pleasure. All of our listeners every week talk about how much they enjoy what you give us on here. Thank you for being patient with us. Try to enjoy a little bit of the off season, and we really look forward to getting you back next year here on the show. Thanks for everything, Mike. Take care.
All right. Well, thank you, man. I enjoyed working with you this year.
Thank you, Coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.